I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 67. Psalm 67, which is a song, it is a prayer, and it is a reminder. If you're wrestling at times with what you're feeling, go to the book of Psalms, and you will find again and again and again the word of the Lord spoken through several different songwriters, David, Moses, Asaph, and again expressing what's in their heart, but doing it in a way that is ordained by God. And it speaks our longings, it speaks our pain, it speaks our trust in the Lord and our praise for the Lord. Psalm 67, this is God's word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. Selah. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Selah. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. First of all, what does Selah mean? Well, it's a musical term, like when Mr. Andrew is saying, and there we go to the bridge. The bridge is a musical term. It's talking about this piece in the music, which typically has words, but it ties this part to this part. It's also sort of like the descriptions of forte or pianissimo, which say, you know, loud or quietly. And in the case of Selah, it's saying there's a pause here. You wait. And typically that would be an instrumental interlude, okay? But the purpose of that was not to show off the talent of the harpist. The purpose was in order that we might meditate on what has just been spoken. Think about it would be one way of translating Selah. Think about it. Look again. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine upon us. For God to be gracious to us, we've got to recognize that it's grace, that we're in a position where it's not deserved. He doesn't say, may God give us what we deserve. He says, may God be gracious to us. May God treat us with grace and bless us, and make His face shine upon us. In other words, don't just look at the circumstances. He'll talk about some circumstances in a minute. But don't just look at the circumstances in your life and think, oh, if only this was different, if only this was fixed, if only I could change this, or if this person would just do that. You know what we really need? Is for God to be gracious to us, for God to bless us, and for God to make His face shine on us. That's like a smile, okay? For God to smile at us. Because if God's smiling at you, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. If God is being gracious to you and blessing you, then your enemies are the ones who are in trouble. I'll probably talk about it until it's finally resolved, but we have a nuisance bear that keeps coming to our house. But the problem is, this year, the bear has started showing up while I was out of town. And behaved in a most unseemly manner. Okay? And of course, the folks who were staying at the house were concerned about this and did their best to be responsible, bring pet food in, that sort of thing. But here's the thing. My number one choice is that the bear never comes back. My number two choice is I want the bear to show up when I'm there. Okay? Because it's my house. And I know it's my house. And the bear is not going to convince me otherwise. And therefore, he's the one who's trespassing. And therefore, he's the one who's in trouble. You understand? You've heard me say this before about venomous snakes that from time to time have showed up at our house. One, a copperhead that bit my wife while she was pulling a weed. She goes over there and sees this one weed that is standing tall and proud. And she says, not today. And she goes over, reaches down to pull that thing, and she's bitten in the hand by a copperhead. Now, that copperhead had to be dispatched by one of my sons because I had to take my wife to the hospital. But I want you to understand, if a venomous snake shows up at my house, it's in trouble. It's in trouble. There are some people who will watch this online and they'll say, the snakes have more of a right to be here than we do. They were here first. Well, no, actually, I'm older than any of those snakes up there. All right? And I'm happy to say that my cat, who is appropriately named Hunter, knows that the snakes don't belong and brought a deceased copperhead and put it on the door of our, on the mat in front of the door of our home the other day. Wasn't a great big copperhead, but it was still a copperhead. And I was proud of Hunter and told him so and let him have some food. Now, here's the thing. Why are we saying this? Because if God, the creator and ruler and judge of the universe, looks upon us with grace and favor, then whatever the other circumstances are, it's immaterial. Okay? If this person's upset with me, well, if God's smiling on me, this person is the one who's out of line. If God is smiling on me, then whatever the weather or whatever my health or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all temporary. He's the one with whom I will have to do forever. And if God is smiling on me, if he's making his face shine upon us, if he is being gracious to us and blessing us, then whatever this other stuff is not a big deal. I've told you before about the dachshund that attacked my German Shepherd. Not a good move. But my German Shepherd didn't crush the dachshund, as he easily could have. He just pulled it off of him, shook it, and tossed it into the hedge. And the dachshund was uninjured. Okay? Why? Because my dog was gracious to that dachshund. You're comparing your dog to God? Only in the sense that it would be so easy for my dog to go, and there would be three pieces of dachshund, one in the mouth and two that fell off on either side. German Shepherds have awesome jaw strength. Tremendous bite power. But he didn't do that. He just literally shook it off. And you and I can just shake off the problems of this life if God is being gracious to us and blessing us and looking upon us with favor. It kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? So think about it. Well, that's what we just did. Selah. May God do this because we want a happy life. That's not what it says. May God do this because I prefer comfort to discomfort. That's not what it says. It says, may God do this that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. The Jewish people sometimes got the idea that God's blessings were just for them. But God repeatedly, over and over throughout the Old Testament, made it clear that he blessed Israel in order to bless the whole earth. He chose Israel to display his grace because his intention was that his glory would be made known among all the nations. God has always, from the start, promised that he would bring together people from every tribe and tongue. And God is going to carry that to completion. You and I can count on it. We are supposed to be a part of it. If you know Jesus, you are supposed to be invested in the spread of the gospel. Not just telling people in our community, but supporting those who are telling people throughout the earth. And living in such a way that we bring honor to his name and cause people to have reason to think, huh, maybe there is something to this. We do that by working really hard and becoming the quarterback, the beauty queen, and the head of the corporation. Right? No, not necessarily. We work hard, but our goal is to display the character of God, his grace and mercy. We're asking him to be gracious to us. We need to be gracious to others. We need to be displaying 1 Corinthians 13. Because if we don't have love, we've just become a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Even if we do good stuff, if it's not out of love, we gain nothing. And so the purpose of this prayer that God would be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us is not just for our benefit. The focus of it in the very next verse is that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Is that why you're praying what you're praying? Is that the motivation? Is that the cry of your heart? Or is it sometimes just all about you? I have to be honest. Sometimes I pray this way. Sometimes my heart is that God would do whatever he wants with my life in order that I might reach others for Christ. But if that means suffering, if that means I'm going to have to go through difficult times and display patience and kindness and forgiveness in order to display his glory to the nations, I don't know I really want to do that. I was thinking more along the lines of, you make me rich and healthy and good looking and I'll give everybody a Jesus saves message. But you look at the scriptures and apparently one of the ways in which God makes his glory known is when his people go through difficulty and don't respond the way that those who aren't his people do. I've told you many times about the fellow who came out of his child's hospital room into the hallway to ask my wife, "How can you be so peaceful and so happy when your child is going through this?" She was holding our son, awaiting surgery, And that man had been watching as we had to take Paul home and then bring him back and then take him home and then bring him back and then take him home and bring him back. He'd had 12 surgical procedures, 4 full-blown surgeries during a 2-week period right before he turned 2 years old. And that man had seen that, seen us going and coming. And what he couldn't understand was why, in the midst of all that, there was peace. Why, in the midst of all that, was there joy? How can you be happy? And my wife was able to share the gospel with that man. And I've told you before, he's now a pastor in New England and a supporter of this ministry. But in order for us to have a credible witness with him, he had to see the glory of God in the midst of suffering. We didn't understand why God wanted us to spend so much time at Children's Hospital, but it was because God was going to save that man. There were other things that happened as well. But that man, the year after he was saved, led more than 24 people to the Lord, including his own mother. Verse 3, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. Think about it. We're praying that everyone will praise God, that everyone will come into a right relationship, that peoples all over the world will come to praise Him and be glad and sing for joy in the Lord. But don't overlook the fact that God is currently ruling the peoples justly and guiding the nations of the earth. So I don't think so. Maybe back when this was written, but that's not happening today. Yes, it was. And yes, it is. It's happening because even the wrath of men shall praise Him. Is God the author of evil? Absolutely not. Does God turn all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose? Absolutely He does. And so when something horrible happens, Joseph gets bushwhacked by his siblings and thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery and then falsely accused and then ends up in prison. Where's God? It says over and over, and God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. Well, so you're saying it was fair? No. No, I'm saying God was at work. So did God make them do that? No. But God was with him, and God was at work, and God was going to use it for good. And in fact, after he became the prime minister of Egypt, and his nasty siblings had to come down there and beg for food, not dreaming that it was the brother that they had so mistreated who was in charge of the food distribution program. They show up, they go before him, and he says, guys, I don't want you to worry about it anymore. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God meant it for good. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us. For, Lord, You rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. God's working His purpose out. Even when people do horrible things, God is taking that and using it for good. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. That needs to be our prayer. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Now we need to praise the Lord, but so do others. And we need to be praying that they'll come to know Him and that they will worship Him as well. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. When everybody's praising God, it's going to be great. Did you know one day that's going to happen? One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even God's enemies are going to have to admit the truth. Now, that doesn't mean they're all going to be reconciled to Him. But God is going to destroy the present heavens and earth and raise up a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And in that world, read the book of Revelation, there's not going to be any more rebellion. In the city of God, there will no longer be adulterers or thieves or liars. God promises that the destiny of those who trust in Him is to one day be with those who joyfully give Him worship. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. Verse 7, God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. The Holy Spirit has inspired the psalmist to pray that this will happen, and then to conclude that short prayer by saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions we desire of Him. I have a list of people that I pray for repeatedly throughout the day. And I keep having to update my list because God keeps answering prayer. And so now, I haven't dropped their names, but now instead of saying, Lord, please heal Lindsay, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for healing Lindsay. Instead of saying, Lord, please heal Bill, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for healing Bill. Instead of praying, Lord, please heal Savannah, I'm praying, Lord, thank you for healing Savannah. Instead of praying, Lord, please answer my sister's prayer and take her home to be with you, I'm saying, and Lord, thank you for taking my sister home to be with you. So, Pastor Wood, do you always get what you ask for? No, I always get what God deems best. But this is the confidence that we have in Him. I'm going to repeat it again, because it's from God's Word. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petition that we desire of Him. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank You that Your Word is true, that Your Word does not change, that Your Word never fails. And so we come to You this day asking that You would be gracious to us and that You would bless us and that You would cause Your face to shine upon us. And we will be careful to give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.